Welcome to SaaS Blast, accelerating your financial journey, where we're taking intentional and strategic actions to expedite your progress towards achieving financial goals. I'm your host, Carla McRae, and today we have an insightful episode lined up for you related to legal compliance, intellectual property protection. And whether you're a startup founder, a finance enthusiast, or just curious about SaaS, you're in the right place. I've got with me today Kelly Swartz. She's a patent and tax attorney, board certified in intellectual property law, which includes patents, trademarks, copyrights, and trade secrets. She's a partner at Wiedemann Malick out of Melbourne, Florida. She's outside general counsel to small and medium-sized companies. She does some fractional work on the side too. And she works with startup companies to create clarity in their branding concept. She helps growth stage businesses identify and prioritize protection of existing intellectual property assets. And she's educated at University of Florida, Barry University, and Georgetown University. She chairs the board of WeVenture, a nonprofit organization focused on accelerating sustainable business growth for women entrepreneurs. She's the vice chair of the Florida Bar Intellectual Property Certification Committee. And she enjoys spending time with her family, performing with Melbourne-based improv troupe Funky Dog, which is pretty awesome. So, Kelly, we're glad to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I wanted to just kind of start with, you know, why is intellectual property for software as a services, you know, so important? Maybe we start with what is intellectual property from the legal standpoint?
Okay, so intellectual property is comprised of four different parts. We've got patents, trademarks, copyrights, and trade secrets. And when we're talking about software companies, and particularly software as a service companies, these four parts of intellectual property are very often the largest assets that they have.
Okay. Can you define maybe what, you know, to somebody in a layman term, like what is a patent or what is a trademark specifically, a copyright? I mean, obviously a trade secret seems a little bit obvious, right? Trade secret is just something in practice that is relevant to something you developed and it's your secret.
Right. So each of these four things cover something a little bit different and they give the owner a little bit different protection or protect different aspects of the same thing. A patent is, as we traditionally think about it, it's going to protect an invention, a specific way of doing something when it comes to software, or if there's a hardware element to it, then it would be that device.
Right.
But when we're dealing with a SaaS company, software patents can be kind of tricky to get now. If there is in that product that they're delivering, there is a way that makes computing more effective, more efficient, that could be protected with a patent. If it fundamentally changes the way of doing something, that could potentially be protected. A method could be protected that way. But software patents over the years have become trickier and trickier to get, which leads us to the value of a copyright or a trade secret when we're dealing with software. A copyright covers the creative expression in a fixed form. So when we're dealing with software, that would be the written code.
Got it.
Can be protected with
Got
a copyright.
It. Okay.
And a trade secret, as you mentioned, it protects something that brings value to a company, and you also have to treat it like a secret. So it's a little bit of a circular definition. It's a secret if you treat it like a secret. And it's actually vital that you do treat it like a secret and only give access to people who need to know if you want to protect it as a trade secret. And then a trademark, every company has a trademark,
right,
whether they realize it or not. And it's their brand name, it's their slogans, it's distinctive sounds, even odors can be protected with trademark.
Odors, interesting. Probably not as relevant to a software as a service company, but
a fun fact.
love it. Okay, so then I think I hear you saying that patent really goes back to the actual maybe process that would be protected. Is that correct? Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, it's the structure of the software or the way the software, what it does when it executes.
Okay, so if we think of a software as a service company, and you would point as the most crucial aspect of intellectual property of the four we just talked about, what would be the first thing you think that they should address or be focusing on in relation to collect or protecting that intellectual property?
for most companies, I'm going to say it's a trademark.
Okay.
Particularly if they're doing a significant amount of business online and people are Googling them, looking for their name. They want to protect their trademark, what people are looking for, and they want to prevent other people from using that same name just as much as they want to get their name out there. And the only way to do, the most efficient way to do that is to file a federal trademark registration.
Okay. And then maybe what's the second one? I guess I would probably lean towards the copyright, right? The code?
Copyrights are really important. I think I would maybe tie it. This is a cheat answer, but I would tie copyrights and trade secret protection. And I think the reason I say that is because as soon as you write code, it is protected by copyright law. Nobody else can steal it, copy it. They'd be stealing from you. So you don't have to really take any specific steps until you want to sue somebody for a copyright. With trade secrets, you have to think about it, and you have to put some processes in place to make sure that your information is protected as a secret. You want to have your employees sign agreements that say, I don't own this. This is the company's, and I'm not going to tell anybody about it, to make sure it stays a secret.
Okay. So copyrights in this sense function. I had a little bit of experience with this because we worked on podcast music, right? We were like music rights and compositions. So it almost sounds like it's a little bit similar, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
It's exactly the same thing.
All right. Awesome. So I think like we know, you know, these are crucial aspects to protect these companies, but what happens if somebody actually infringes on these assets? What are next steps, you know, for a particular software as a service organization?
Yeah. So I think that's a good point for a couple of reasons. There's no sense in putting any effort into protecting these things if you're not going to also enforce them. Okay. So you need to police them. If you decide to protect them and enforce them, you need to police them so you can become aware of when infringement is happening.
Okay, and what happens to a software as a service company if they do have infringement on these assets?
Well, it's important to address that infringement so they can maintain their rights in it. These assets, again, they're so valuable to these companies that you don't want to accidentally lose your rights by not enforcing them. So as soon as you become aware of infringement or potential infringement, it's important to consult with an expert, usually an attorney, who can tell you whether that's true or not and what your next steps should be. It's very often to write a cease and desist letter to the infringer, make them aware of the situation, and then work to resolve it amicably if possible, because it's a lot cheaper than litigation.
Yeah. I mean, I guess a lot of those aspects are a lot cheaper than litigation. Any aspect's cheaper than litigation, right?
Yeah.
You know, we were talking a little bit earlier about, you know, you mentioned policing and monitoring these assets, and maybe it's not worth even executing the filing of these particular protections unless you're going to police them. What does policing them look like?
Well, there are a couple of different ways to do it.
Yeah.
You can engage a third party that will proactively go out and monitor on a regular schedule, usually monthly, to see if... And those are usually internet searches of state databases to see if anybody has registered a company using your mark with similar services,
right.
Or if the websites have popped up that have those services on them, or if you're, this doesn't apply so much to SaaS, but looking on Amazon and those types of other resellers to see if it's infringement is occurring there.
Okay. Yeah, I know when I've done like patent work, I've always consulted an attorney in the past, and I know they're doing searches and filings at, you know, U.S. Patent Office specifically. I think another aspect that is probably important to the listener here is if we think about these intellectual property assets and we think about just the actual cost to develop, well, not the cost to develop the assets, but the cost to protect them. Can we talk a little bit about that and your experience in that? So maybe we start with copyright, for example, since we said that I think we talked about trademark being the most important. Maybe we start with trademark, move into copyright.
Yeah, so the cost to file a trademark registration is generally $2,000. It's in that ballpark of $2,000 from start to finish to get the trademark application filed and issued, which is a drop in the bucket compared to the marketing costs that are associated with the branding effort. So when you're looking at it holistically as what's good for your business, if you're going to invest in marketing your brand, I think it's a worthwhile bit of insurance to go ahead and register that trademark and give yourself some reassurance in that aspect that it's protectable.
Got it. And then what about for copyright? Similar?
Well, copyright's even cheaper. You automatically have copyrights.
Oh, yeah, you mentioned that. Right. You're
but
right.
You can register it. You can register your copyright, which gives you some extra rights. And that's generally less than $1,000 to file a copyright registration for software.
Well, and so we were also talking, Kelly, and this was offline before we, you know, hopped on and are recording on the podcast, but, you know, there's some differences specifically related to patents versus trade secret protection for software. I thought this might just be a good place to kind of layer that conversation in also. Can we expand on that a little bit?
Absolutely, yeah, and that is related to cost as well. To get a patent for software can be one of the most expensive forms of intellectual property to protect. You know, we can run into the tens of thousands of dollars to prosecute that patent application. But a trade secret, that is essentially free once you get those processes in place and you follow them. You just treat it as a secret, and it is a trade secret. So when you file a patent application, you are required to disclose all of that information, and it becomes public record after the patent application publishes. A trade secret is the exact opposite. You have to keep it a secret. So by that, just the way the two things operate, they're mutually exclusive. You have to pick one or the other.
Got it.
A patent also, after 20 years, it's going to expire and everyone can use it. So software moves really quickly. Sometimes it makes sense to get the patent and protect it even though people are going to know about it. But some things, your customer list, who you're marketing to, these types of things, you can protect with a trade secret and just keep it a secret and do it for free.
Gotcha. Okay, so I think what I'm taking out of this, highly complex, super important, call Kelly. And I guess really just back to just in final closing is if you were consulting an organization, maybe in an early startup, not a lot of capital loaded into the company yet, would you recommend that this is done right off the rip at the beginning? Would you recommend maybe wait till they've got some users and customers on board and have a revenue stream? What do you think is the right timeline to really be not only consulting with a lawyer, but thinking very seriously about the protection around this?
I think the right time to consult with a lawyer is right in the beginning.
Okay.
Because there's some things that are time barred. If you don't do them soon enough, you're never going to be able to do them. And I never want anybody to accidentally give up a right. If they're deciding to not do something, that should be an intentional decision. So the sooner you get somebody, an expert involved, you know, the better off you are in making really informed decisions. And then you can create a timeline for when it makes sense, when your financial milestones can support each of these steps.
Perfect. All right, well, Kelly, thank you so much for joining us. That was incredible information. Obviously, you don't get this without talking to a lawyer, so appreciate your time.
Well, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Hope you'll come back at some point. Thank you for joining us on SaaS Blast. If you have any questions, you can reach us at saasblastjourney.com. That's SaaS blastjourney.com. Continue to join us as we accelerate your financial journey together.